Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
Real, relevant relationship. Me and Hannah think we might have Davina in the talent show doing this little light of mine. Hannah's taught her this, but she sticks up her finger when it's this little light. She does this. And we usually put this little, like, there's a little cap or something we put on her finger, and she loves it. And so Hannah's taught, you're going to do that, huh, Hannah? She told me to announce it, so it's happening.
It was that or Itsy Bitsy Spider, but this one of mine's a little more.
Yeah, it's a little more spiritual than talking about spiders. That's good. Well, praise God. I'm going to pray us into this sermon this morning. God, we thank you. We praise you. You're a good God. You're a good Father. Your love, it endures forever, God. Father, we pray that you bless this time, God, that we have all come here. We've gathered together, God, to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I absolutely believe that God has orchestrated what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about the church. I got a slide. Yep, there we go. Excellent. Also, if I could do a special request on another slide, I'm so sorry. I should have said this earlier. Last week's slide, maybe have that ready if possible. Because I want to talk about that. I want to encourage you. Eric last week gave a more of a vision casting message. He talked about something called the apest. And it's actually Ephesians 4:11. It's the fivefold gift mix. If you've been around here for any amount of time, you've heard a lot about the fivefold gift mix. Let me tell you, this is a fresh view. This is a new way of looking at it. And thank God, it's a blessing to the church. When he talks about the apest, you're going to see that word being said. It stands for apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. Now, Eric taught last week that those are the gifts that we were given by God. In a church, all of those are important. Not one is more important than the other. That might be a little bit different than what you've heard in the past. A lot of times I think people think the apostle has just got to be, it's got to be that, and he's got to be at the head. Listen, they're all equally important, all of them. And so if we have that slide at any point in time, he's working on it. Boom, look at that. Good job, Aaron. All right, so just look at this. This is that whole apest idea that we were talking. But this intersecting section right there, that is what's important, to be right there as a church. See, I'm talking about the church today, and I'm reading a book that I got from school called Christian History Made Easy. It talks about the church from when Jesus died all the way up to current day. And you're going to realize that the church in the past has not had these balanced. For almost 2,000 years, we've not really acknowledged. I mean, there is churches out there that have done it, and thank God. And there's short seasons in our history that this has been played out in a healthy way. But if you get a church, and this is a lot of what Eric talked about last week, and encourage you, go to the podcast, find this message. But if you get a church that just focuses on the apostolic, or just focuses on the prophetic, or maybe they focus on teacher and shepherding, but they don't get the other ones, you're not going to have a healthy place. Health and what Jesus is in the dead center of all of those. So they're all important, they're all equal, and they all have to be emphasized equally. So, grab your Bibles, let's head to Ephesians 4. I've been talking about it, it's about time we actually read it. I don't know why, but I got the NLT up here. The NASB is really the only true scripture out there, but for some reason I got the NLT. No, that's all good. Okay, so Ephesians 4:11, I'm going to keep reading to you after that. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus. Full and complete standard is the dead center of those circles. So as we get going, let's figure out what is the church. Let's define that. I mean, I think, like I said earlier, if you take history and try to define what a church should be or what a church is, you're going to see a lot of churches that if they focus any one of those, they pretty much they render true power, because the true power of God and the true power of a church is at the center of all this gift. But if you get focused, you get malnourished in other areas, and then you get off balanced, and then you get perversion really quick. And so in Christian history, and I think some of you could just imagine, you know, some church environments that get out of control and get kind of perverted because they get focused on certain things and then they totally ignore other aspects of the gift mix. That's why this morning we're going to redefine what the church is and what God has intended the church to be. So my encouragement is defining the church, we define it as the center of that gift mix. The reason that you want and we desire that center, that gift mix, the reason we come together is to be right here, to come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. A church is a place where you experience Jesus. You come to get Jesus and get matured. So, now that we're lightly defining the church, we're going to go, and we're going to, I love to ask questions. As I told you last week, but my gift mix, as those five, we all did a little quiz. Again, Eric talks about this in his message. All the staff did a little quiz to realize where we land on our gift mix. If you were here last week, the highest score is a 50, and then on to just zero, obviously. And Eric scored a perfect 50 on apostolic, and then like a 6 on shepherding. So my gift mix is a little more focused on shepherding. It was shepherding and teaching, so I love teaching, and I love actually being taught. You realize that if you like teaching, you actually like learning quite a lot. And so I love to ask questions as we go through this. So we ask the question, what is the church? And before we get any deeper, I want to take a moment and address the stigma that can come with the word church, or I'm going to church, or there's the church, you need to be at church. Listen, some people have really been hurt by these churches that I was talking about. For the last 2,000 years, all of history, there's been a lot of perversion in churches. So a lot of people have been hurt by churches. And the word church now has a little bit of a negative connotation with it. I want to encourage you that if you're here this morning, you're hurt by a church, I'm surprised you're here, for starters. But if you know somebody that's been hurt by a church, talking to you, my fellow believers, if you have a friend that's been wounded by that word, the church, please encourage them and tell them, listen, don't let some leader, some group of people, some pastor ruin your perception on Almighty God. Like, you're letting some really insignificant little person ruin what a relationship you could have with a perfect Father. Like, don't waste another moment being bitter at an institution or what would appear to be an institution of people and ideas and thoughts, and just have a relationship with God. That's my encouragement. But by the end of this, you're going to realize that it is important to be plugged into a church. So those people, I say, listen, get healed, get healing, get forgiveness. You got to prosper, and without forgiveness, you're never going to prosper in life. And so get some healing and get a new perception of what the church is. Forgive those people and keep moving. So why? We're going to follow that up with why go to church. Why go to church? Acts 20, flip on over there. Acts 20, verse 28. So guard yourselves and God's people feed and shepherd God's flock, his church purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. So in a church, we have leaders, obviously, but you are here to be fed. That's why you go to a church. The other element, too, is, listen, I grew up as a shepherd. I know some of you are like, what? That was only in the Bible days. No, they still exist. There's still sheep out there. So I did. We on my farm at home, we had 1,800 head of sheep at our height. And then, like, winter, we try to clean out because it's Minnesota, and you're busting ice all winter to try to get your sheep watered. When we're talking about sheep, you'll be careful how I say that word. I come out wrong. We're talking about sheep. Shepherds, what they do is they protect sheep. And it's evident when we talk about David, and he killed, like, bears and lions and all kinds of crazy stuff. And that's what it is. So I want to encourage you, this is a safe place. We're talking about this Acts, the scripture right here, Acts 20, encouraging you, this is a safe place that you get fed. That's what a church is. We're going to continue to define it. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Listen, when you have some shepherds in your life, specifically when you have good shepherds that really care about you, you come here on a Sunday morning and you come and you honor them. You just give them respect. You give them love because they have dedicated their life actually to you. So you, in return, just love and respect. We're going to keep reading. We're going to keep reading there in 1 Thessalonians. And live peacefully with each other. Now, this is addressing you directly. And live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil. But always try to do good to each other and to all people. So now we got more of an image. It's a safe place. You're getting fed. But you are here to be with and around one another. And that is how you actually grow. You get to warn each other. You get to love on each other. That is the maturing process. So why go to church? Well, listen, if you're not in a church, you're not really going to be fed. You're going to have to go out and scavenge for food yourself, which could be dangerous because there's not a shepherd protecting you. That's the idea there. And you're not in an environment where you can truly mature and grow. This is the fertile soil, man. Come jump in the fertile soil. So here's that idea. We've now defined kind of why go to church. What is a church? Why go to church? And now, why participate in a church more than once a week? Could have answered it just now with the 1 Thessalonians there. But iron sharpens iron. Everybody here knows that. Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. Why participate more than once a week? So you can actually be sharpened. You come here, and yes, Eric preaches and teaches and blesses us and encourages us, but he doesn't disciple us. He simply gives you a message, inspires you, and says, listen, this is what God is doing. This is what God's serving you. But there's potentially anywhere from 250 to 300 of you. Eric's not going to sit down and ask you how you're doing, what's happening, what's the next. Like, it's not going to happen. You have to come and be a part of a church to actually get discipled. If you're not here on a, you know, like, and this is the other element, too, is that sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, I was at that. I was at this. It's like, dude, you came in late and left early. Nobody even saw you were here. Like, you didn't get to talk. You didn't get to, like, be a part of this group of brothers and sisters. So that's what your connect group is for. Obviously, I think most of you are putting that together, is that your connect group is where you disciple people. You love people in your connect group. And so be a part of a connect group. If you're not in a connect group, man, and you come to this church, I want to encourage you, get connected. Like, that's where you're going to get discipled. That's actually how you're going to get sharp. That's how you're going to be an effective Christian. Yeah, you can come here and get encouraged once a week by Eric, but that's not going to cut it, man. Like, you've got to go the next step. So that's why you're going to that's why you'd want to participate more than once a week. Now I'm getting to the biggest idea and my biggest heart in this message is truly redefining what church is. See, sometimes we view church as, oh, it's a social gathering. Oh, it's another group. It's maybe like a self-help group in some ways. I think some people come here just to get help. Like, that's great. This is the place for it. But I want you to go a little further. I want you to perceive this place in a new way. Because there's limitations on all those groups. I don't want to say worldly, but you're limited to this world in the sense of, I've said this so many times, is that in the world, 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4. But with God, 2 + 2 could equal anything. So you're at a church. Like, you come here, and if you treat it like a social gathering, it's just going to return that. What I'm going to encourage you to do is read Romans 8, flip on over to Romans 8, and view it like this. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit because I'm already got a lot of scriptures. Y'all are like, man, you're going to read the darn whole Bible to us today. Romans 8:15. You received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with all of our spirits, to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. If you haven't caught on yet, I've said these words a couple few times, and scripture is just blatantly obvious. You guys are brothers and sisters. Like, that's what's going on. This isn't a social gathering. This is a room of family. If you treat it as a social gathering, like I said, you're only going to get that in return. This is a divinely fused family. We're fused by the blood of Jesus. See, you approach a church with a family mentality, you're going to get a lot more out of it. You're going to get a lot more love. You know, I think sometimes you've heard lots of messages, I'm sure, on the church. What is the church? Well, it's the body of Christ. And that's good. That's scriptural. I'm not trying to make fun. But what I'm saying is that's a little bit dangerous because, at least in our culture, saying the body can be perceived as however you want, man. If you come in here with being a businessman, you're going to perceive it as it's just a business. And then when, John's not at church, if I'm asking about John with a business mentality, it's not that I actually care about John's well-being. It's that I simply want to know, well, why are my numbers down? I want results. This is dangerous. You can't do that because you're not going to love people. You're not going to shepherd people if you do that. So, that's one element of how a church can get taken wildly out of context, and you can get hurt by a church when they treat it like a business kind of thing. And so I want you to start to think about it like a family. Think about this. We were at the Burger Bar. Is that what it's called, Hannah? The Burger Bar. We went to the Burger Bar. It's the first time I've ever been. It's on 6th Street. It is pretty good burgers, but it was phenomenal customer service. That customer service was wild. We walked in. There was a host. Maybe like a manager, I don't know. He seemed to be. He is the owner. The owner is at the front door greeting you. Hello, how are you doing? Oh, your daughter is just a doll. Look at those cheeks. He's greeting us. He helps us get seated. We have a waiter. She's taking care of us. Super fast service is crazy quick there, by the way. Another waiter even comes around just to kind of, oh my gosh, your daughter's cute. It was just awesome. Like, it was great customer service. And, God bless America. Hannah and I are going to be taking a trip here over to Europe, and we got to get ready for the exact opposite when you enter Europe. It's just not a culture of customer service. But listen, that's awesome, isn't it? Customer service. Who loves good customer service? Praise the Lord. God bless America. That's how I feel when I say good customer service. But if you approach a church and you start to think of it and you roll in here and you don't approach it like family and you expect good customer service, think about this. Go to your house. Brian, you sit down and you treat your family as if as a consumer. You sit down and you say, Jill, I would like a Coke. And a few minutes go by. You, Jill, where's that Coke? Like, what the heck? Like, over here, please, serve me. You know, and Coke comes a little slow or whatever, and then the food comes out. You're like, this is not what I wanted. Well, you know what? I'm not coming back. I don't care about that. It's not going to work. Now, put that idea to this church of family. If you treat this place as a consumer, it's not going to work for you. And what's going to happen is you're going to go from this church to the next church to the next church to the next church, because there's people in these churches, man. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. Nothing's ever going to be exactly right. But if you treat it like a family, you're going to find that you're going to have covenant relationships. And there's going to be mercy involved, because we all need grace and mercy. You're going to get more out of a church than you've ever got. Let's define family. I actually used Siri, and I said, Siri, what is family? Or I said define family. And like the third option down made the most sense for this situation. But you can see it's like it is third option. Her first was like, well, blood relatives. But family definition, people related to one another and so to be treated with special loyalty or intimacy. That's why I want you to look at the church and the people around you. I want you to think about the church as brothers and sisters, which means that none of us are greater than one another. I might be teaching you today. That doesn't mean I'm on anything. I'm not any higher than anybody. We're all fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all co-heirs to the same kingdom, to the same Father. So you think let's expand even further on this idea of family. So now I've given you a vision of this is like a family. This is a family gathering this morning. It's a family dinner. You all have come to the table to eat of what God has instructed me this morning to cook up for you. Think about family gatherings, you know, like what happens at them, you know. Well, maybe it's, let's just think of close family, brothers and sisters all come in. You know, we all kind of help get the food laid out. We all kind of get out there. You know, we start eating. We show up early to socialize. You don't usually show up late and then just roll in for food and then just leave, you know, right after food's done. Like, that doesn't happen in normal family gatherings. I get there's some dysfunctional families out there, obviously. I'm going to address that in a minute. But this idea of this is a family gathering. Come to the table and eat. Partake with each other. If David rolled in, and David's my brother, and all of a sudden David rolls into the family gathering and he looks terrible. Like it looks like he's lost 50 pounds and his face is sunken in and, you know, something crazy. Like, I would be a little concerned about David. Think of your brother, your family's, in the healthiest sense, you would be concerned for their well-being. You might reach out to them. In this place, we get fed spiritually. And so you, discipling one another, you guys, you are your brother's keepers. You are in charge of seeing and looking at your brothers and sisters and saying, man, are you spiritually growing? Are you spiritually eating? If you see, I mean, we just let it go, I feel like, too often in a church. When we come to be consumers and we come to a restaurant to be fed, you don't care about the guy next to you. The guy next to me is just, he looks scrawny and he's not eating anything, whatever. You know, like, he must not like the food. Like, in a home, you're like, whoa, what's wrong, man? I know that wasn't, you know, hey, like, try this. This is a little better than the peas. Like, approach it from a new mentality, a new view. Redefine what you see as the church. It's a body of brothers and sisters coming to a family dinner to partake together. If we see, I can't stress that enough, man. If you guys saw little Davina, all of a sudden she stopped growing and those enormous cheeks went away, like, people would be saying something. So say something to each other spiritually. You're actually scripturally challenged to grow and challenge one another. Man, you can't lead malnourished, immature believers into battle. You ain't going to win nothing. You're not going to make a difference. If you want to be effective Christians, we've got to help one another. You've got to be a part of this body. You've got to be a part of this family. Iron's got to be sharpening iron, or y'all going to be dull. And you got to get around each other. And I'm not saying like, whoa, like make this place exclusively your home. Don't ever leave it. And these doors are it. It's like, no. Like, this is where you grow as a Christian. You mature. You get sharp so that you can be effective in the workplace. So that you can live a powerful, overflowing with joy and love Christian walk, so that you can be effective in with unbelievers and people that don't understand this love and this peace that you have. So don't think like I'm trying to get you to close in and just stay here forever and only be a part of this. No, actually, you're a part of this so that you can be effective outside these walls, outside this church home, and so that you will bring in. I loved it. I mean, addressing the family stigma, if you don't like the word family because you had a really crappy family or you didn't have a family at all, listen, you were created for family. Whether you like it or not, it was put in you from creation. God has always wanted a family. That's why he created you. So you are actually drawn. You can't help but be drawn to healthy family. You might not, like I say, you just might not like the word. I have buddies all growing up. I was really blessed. I had a really solid family, awesome mom and dad. I have four older sisters, and pretty much all my brother-in-law. I have three brother-in-laws, and they've been around me forever, and I just love them all. But some of my really good friends growing up, they come from real rough families. I have a buddy that has a mom that was an alcoholic and lost every job she ever had. And then eventually, by the time he started working, she would just steal money from him so she could drink alcohol. He was 14 when he started working, and that was happening. So family could be a little messed up for him. If I say the word family, he's like, whoa, bro, I don't want nothing to do that. Guess where he loved to spend time? At my house. He loved to be in that atmosphere of family. Like, I just want to encourage you in that regard is, you know, if that word is hard for you, I want to tell you, man, you're drawn to it. Like, you can't help but being drawn to it. And don't fight it. Come and be a part of it. Know that even with my family, la, 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 they're awesome. Dude, we had issues. We had stuff. Like, we, you know, there was arguments. We're a bunch of Germans in my household, and we all got our hard-headed, you know, thick-minded, thick-skulled ideas that we're going to stick on. But we all love each other, and we have grace for each other. That's the power of family. If you treat a church like a business, or if you treat church like some social club, if you don't like it, you leave. That's what you do in social clubs. Or if the company treats you bad, you leave. You don't leave a family. You're forever connected to that family. You could leave the doors, but you're still a part of the family. So that's the perception that I'm saying. You've got to change it. Like, you've got to start looking at this at a much deeper level, because you're going to experience wonderful growth. See, it's so important that we're all together and that we have unity so that we can get into the center of what I was talking about earlier, the fivefold gift mix, the APAS, as we were saying it earlier. We all need each other for that to work proper. And in the middle of that is the greenest grass that your leadership will ever be able to grow for you. It's the most fruitful place that you'll ever be. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm about done. And I hope that you can take this, that it challenges you to perceive this place different, to perceive any church different. Don't be a wandering orphan any longer. That's what a church hopper is. They're a wandering orphan. You've got to find a home. Allow the power of God, the Romans 8, adopted into the kingdom and become a part of a family. And don't just leave when you get offended. That's what an immature person does. their feelings get hurt and they go pout. Like, dude, I know that that might be offensive to you, and you might leave and go pout. But listen, I want to encourage you. I'm your brother. I'm going to say something stupid. It's going to happen. I'm sorry. Like, you're my sister. You're going to do something annoying. Whatever. Like, it might happen. But it's a family. We stick it out. That's what this is. We love one another. We challenge one another. We have to have each other to grow. That's what First Thessalonians is talking about. Scripture is telling you, if this is a new idea to you, I'm so sorry. That means the church has failed you for thousands of years. And it has. Everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about when we say the church has failed for thousands of years. I will say that in my some of the Christian history, there has been groups of people that have got this figured out. And what God has been able to do through those circles, those followings is wonderful. I believe that's where revival breaks out. I believe that's how churches explode. I think of somebody like Robert Morris. Robert Morris is somebody, he wrote The Blessed Church. I've been reading that book. He's figured this out. He's figured out that there has to be a balance and gift mix, that you can't focus on one thing or another. The church, he loves business, so he naturally kind of wants to run a church like a business, but he knows God doesn't want that. God wants it to be a family. Scripture is telling you this is to be a family. And when he operated it like that, that church is blessed. That church has grown. It's awesome. Like I say, we're not about numbers, but we sure want to see some result and some growth in our lives. Growth is going to naturally occur when we get healthy. Think about your children. You feed them proper food, they're going to grow. They're going to mature. If you call them to a higher standard, you tell them no once in a while, they're going to mature. So I want to leave you with this idea. If you're going to write down anything, please write this down. It's a little bit of a, it's something that in my time of prayer, in my time of preparation, it's how I now have redefined the church. Like I say, if you got any, like, please, cell phone, anything, write this down. If you get anything out of this message today, I hope it's this. It's just a couple sentences. What is the church? I asked this question in the beginning, and now that you've heard a little bit of teaching and a little bit of scripture on what the church should be, I hope you can perhaps redefine. And maybe you've had this lined up for a long time. Great, praise God. But if the church is been something that has had a negative connotation with your mind, please this morning redefine it. Here it is. What is the church? It's people related to one another through the blood of Jesus. And so to be treated with special loyalty or intimacy. Coming together to live, connect, grow, and go. Operating from Ephesians 4:11, as we talked about earlier, the apist. It's God's given gift mix. Being divinely led as brothers and sisters, as family, by Abba Father. See, God is ultimately and absolutely the leader of this house. If we're a family, God's the Father. We're all just brothers and sisters. And how much better could it get? God is a perfect Father. So I pray and I believe that this morning that you will capture that idea. That it'll shake the foundation of maybe what you've thought the church is or what the church can be or could be or whatever in your mind. If you perceive it as a social club or as a gathering or whatever, as somewhere to get some help. It may just be that for you. And that's it, though. The power of what God really designed this place for won't be able to flow. But if you treat this place like a family and you create some covenant relationships with brothers and sisters and you put up with a little bit of goofiness, a little bit of stupidity, and And hopefully a lot of goodness that God has, a lot of breakthrough. Some of the most annoying people in my life have produced the most breakthrough. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Y'all, brothers and sisters, we're related the day that we accepted Jesus' blood and it made us clean. It put us in right standing with Father God. Welcome to the family. Don't try to leave. Stay a part of the family. Yeah. God, we thank you. We praise you, Father. God, you're doing good things. God, we pray for those that have been hurt by the church, that their hearts would be restored, that they would release and forgive that leader, that pastor, that group that offended them, that hurt them, God, that they would release that so that they could flourish in a relationship with you and that they could find their way back into a family. Yeah. God, we thank you for your scripture. God, we thank you for your direction. God, we thank you for creating this place to be a family. Yes, God. God, we pray that we would always be a part of this, God. That in our minds and our hearts, that we would know that we are responsible for one another's growth. We're responsible to challenge one another to continue to move on, to get past whatever it is that's holding us back. Yeah. God, we pray and we honor the leaders of this house, God, that you would continue to bless them, God, that they'd have big, huge spiritual ears, God, to hear your voice, to be led by you, God. Because, Father, we know that you are Abba, Father. You are your daddy, your God to us. Your love is perfect, God. We thank you for your divine leadership, God, over us. Yeah. Yeah. God, we pray for I just want to pray for like just saints all over that have been. I just feel like that's so. These people that have been hurt by churches. I think we all know somebody in our mind, or we all have somebody out there. We're just going to take a second. I want you to think of their name. Think about them as estranged children from their family. They're people that have maybe known the gospel and walked away from it for some reason. God, we pray for them. We love our brothers and sisters. We don't want them to wander around in without a God, without a Father, without a Father's love any longer, God. We just call them back. We call them back into the kingdom of God. I'm not saying like they have to come to church. I'm saying just calling them back into the kingdom of God, into the arms of a Father. Yes, God, we call back our brothers and sisters, God, that have forsaken the gathering, have forsaken the assembly. Yes, God. Your love, it covers all. Your grace, it's sufficient. God, we thank you. Jesus, 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 holy name. Come on, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yeah, God, we pray that you'd unify us as a house, God, that you would help grow us, Father, that you would lead us and guide us into maturity, Father. God, as we as a church step into this vision of the fivefold, of it being of five rings and them all intersecting the center, God, that you would lead us to the center. God, that you'd help balance out this gift mix in our body, Father. In Jesus' name, yes. I'm telling you, we get this idea down. We start treating this place like a family. You guys have never have seen prosperity that's going to break out from that. Never seen growth happen quicker than when you treat this place like a family. It's God's design. It's God's structure. Yeah. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.